An exhibit explores the sinking of the Princess Sophia and how a community's discarded belongings become cash for a Haines nonprofit. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. One man's trash is another's treasure, right? That's particularly true for the Hospice of Haines, which generates a significant part of its budget through an annual rummage sale. I went behind the scenes of this year's event.
Great, so then these bags too?
The day before the yearly two-day rummage sale, Haines Harriet Hall is bustling with volunteers as tables begin to fill with items looking for a second, or third, or fourth home.
This will be a sea of clothes that could scare a normal person. There's so many clothes.
Nancy Schnabel is president of the Hospice of Haines board.
Well, it is our biggest fundraiser. It makes up about a fourth of our yearly budget.
Volunteers are working pretty much nonstop, pricing, sorting, even directing traffic as a line of cars stacks up outside the hall.
The amount of people that are involved for a two-day sale is mind-boggling. And they are the people that love rummage and know rummage and understand rummage. So they somehow take a whole lot of stuff and make a whole lot of money out of it.
One of those volunteers is Mardell Gunn. She's been involved since the sale's beginnings more than 20 years ago. She's busy.
I have to work at the time when you're doing it.
But takes a few minutes to talk while putting price stickers on a box full of donated items.
25 years ago when hospice first started, we needed to make money. So we started out the first year, and I remember we made $300 and thought, wow. And somebody said, I think we made $800. Anyway, not very much. 20 years later, here we are. We make over $10,000 every year.
The big open room is full of clothes, books, kitchen tools, art. Outside, Tim McDonough is helping organize appliances, furniture.
We got furniture, tools, garden, camping, all that big stuff is over here.
What is that?
That's a chipper.
Oh,
we all know
chipper.
Fargo.
Yeah.
Are there ever like big ticket items that they're like the coveted rummage sale items?
You know, good furniture is usually a big ticket.
We got a brand new gas weed whacker over there. Never been used. It's been donated. That'll be, it'll go high, and that's a big ticket item.
Cindy Buxton is heading up the organization of the sale this year.
I'm the head delegator. So I guess that's my new title is All Things Rummage.
The rummage sale is a well-established event in the community. Still, not everything sells. Buxton says they try to do whatever they can to limit what gets thrown in the landfill.
Last year, we were able to send a bunch off to Goodwills around the country. I have a recycle team on Sunday afternoon who comes before we do cleanup and tries to find homes for as much as possible. And then things are free or by donation Sunday afternoon after 1, from 1 to 3. And so huge amounts disappear. So not everything sells. An amazing amount walks out the door one way or the other.
What doesn't, the volunteers are able to toss for free. Gunn says turning what could be trash into useful items in a new home is one of the reasons to keep the sale alive.
One of my motivations for keeping it going all these years is the fact that it's moving stuff around the community. Besides it being a fundraiser for hospice, it's hugely important to me that this stuff doesn't get put in the landfill but actually gets moved around.
From weed whackers to typewriters to couches, a lot gets moved around each year.
Household stuff here, jewelry.
In Haines, I'm Abby Collins. A new exhibit in Skagway commemorates the 100-year anniversary of the sinking of the SS Princess Sophia. The grand opening took place at the Arctic Brotherhood Hall on Monday. KHNS's Henry Leisha visited the exhibit to learn more about the ship and the tragedy that claimed the lives of hundreds.
On October 23, 1918, the SS Princess Sophia set off from Skagway on its voyage south. It was the end of the riverboat season in the Yukon, and just like the seasonal migration we see today, many workers were headed back home for the winter. Jeff Brady, one of the exhibition's creators, explains that the ship was off to a slow start.
Because all these people were coming from Canada, they had to be processed by customs. So the ship was a couple hours late leaving here. And by the time it left at about 10 o'clock, it was, of course, getting dark in late October.
The weather quickly took a turn for the worse. High winds and limited visibility took the ship off course at a critical section of the Lynn Canal. At 2 a.m., the ship hit Vanderbilt Reef and grounded itself.
Nothing happened that would cause it to sink at that point. And then a number of decisions were made or not made over the next 30-some hours.
Smaller vessels from the area were called to assist the passengers and crew. However, the captain feared the conditions made it too dangerous to transfer to the other ships. As conditions grew worse, the other boats were forced to turn back to shore. On October 25th, the ship, the crew, and all of the passengers were lost. Well, except for a dog.
There was a setter. The dog was the only survivor. It swam from the shipwreck, somehow made it to the mainland, to the shore.
That's Steve Heitz, a member of the committee that helped bring the exhibit to life. He walks through the eight-panel centerpiece, explaining the timeline of the ship from its first commission in 1911 to its sinking, all the way up to recent investigations by scuba divers. Touchscreen monitors are located off to the side, where visitors can learn more details about the passengers and crew. Heitz shows off the virtual tour of the ship.
This is sort of like PlayStation 6 type of thing. I mean, essentially, we've got here the opportunity to actually look at the Princess Sophia, and we have touch points on the vessel that allow you to go into the cabins, to look at the pilot house, to ask questions interactively.
On another screen, Heitz leafs through a list with descriptions of all the known passengers and crew. Eventually, he finds the owners of the dog who managed to swim to shore. The idea for the exhibit started 2 years ago. David Leverton, the director of the Maritime Museum of British Columbia, visited Skagway to speak with locals about commemorating the 100-year anniversary of the Sophia disaster. A committee was created to help give Leverton input on Skagway's role in the story. Leverton proposed an exhibit that would originate in the BC Museum with a traveling version for smaller communities. However, the Skagway committee decided to purchase the mobile version of the exhibit. Brady says it is important to keep it as a permanent fixture.
If not for the end of World War I dominating all the headlines worldwide, this would have been probably as big a headline as the Titanic. But it wasn't. Even today, here, you know, close to where it happened, we have to remind people this was a big event in our history.
Skagway's Princess Sophia Committee is currently fundraising for a plaque to honor the souls lost at sea. In October, it will be installed at a park facing the water. The exhibit is on display at the Arctic Brotherhood Hall, but will soon be moved to its permanent home at the Skagway Museum. For KHNS News, I'm Henry Leisha.
And I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight.